All right. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, I have a bit of a different sermon for you guys. Typically, when I come up here, I come from the Bible and I go, okay, what's something that God wants me to preach? And I go through and I pick out a couple of verses that relate to a topic, and then I just expand on those verses as much as I can. But today, God had a different plan for me. What he wanted me to do was to share the story of what happened last weekend at YQ. As you can see, this beautiful banner that we got from the people there at Briarcrest. And so today, I'm going to share with you guys five different stories. And I'm going to try to be quick with each of them, because when I timed this out last night, it was 40 minutes. So we'll see if I can shorten it a little bit. But each of these stories has a huge impact on what happened last weekend. Last weekend, we got the opportunity to see God in a whole new way. And the five youth that we brought with us, each of them had a very unique instance where they got to see God. But before I begin, I kind of want to explain what YQ is. And a good way of doing that is with the video that they put together highlighting it. So we're just going to watch a quick highlight video of the weekend so that you can kind of see what we did. Lots of flashing lights, eh? So what is Youthquake? Over the past couple of months, you guys have been hearing it, whether we were doing fundraiser, asking you guys for your prayers, or just generally getting ready for Youthquake, you guys have been hearing the name coming here and there. But what exactly is Youthquake? Well, Youthquake is a youth conference where 1,250 youth, 1,250 youth got together to praise the name of God. And there is an intentional drive at Youthquake to draw the youth in closer to him. There are a few concerts, as you saw there. You saw a couple of those concerts. This year there was AC Jr. and Brady James, KB, Katie Hurst, and North Point Inside Out. And I know none of those names mean anything to you, but what matters is that they are Christian artists who have a passion for letting the youth know about God through their music. AC and Brady James and KB are both kind of rap artists with a different flair for them. Katie Hurst is a worship artist, and North Point Inside Out is kind of all of the above as a rock band. And each of them put on a concert, and during their concert, they would take time out of the music to just share from their heart and say, you know, this is how God has affected me. During KB's concert, something that really impacted me is the fact that he wasn't a Christian for a long time. And what brought him to Christ is the fact that a friend of his said, hey, have you ever heard of this Christian rap artist? And he was so intrigued by this idea because he thought it was a bit of a, it couldn't happen. And so he went and listened, and it was through that music that drew him into Christ, and he became a believer through that and started making his own Christian rap music. It's really good stuff if you're into that kind of music. Other than that, there was sessions throughout the day. So these different sessions were times where the youth could go. We asked them to do one session. There was about 35 different ones that they could go to. We asked them to go to one, and then the rest of the time they could have fun, but just one specific session. And so a lot of our youth went to a session on suicide and depression and how to deal with that in a modern world. And then me and one of the other youth went to a seminar on the existence of God, which you'll be hearing about in that story. And then there was the main sessions, the powerful main sessions, where all of the 1,250 youth would gather together in the main auditorium, and we would praise God, worshiping him, and then we would listen to the amazing words of Jason Ballard. Jason Ballard is a man out of Langley, British Columbia, who is the head of Youth Alpha. And so he does these videos where he brings the word of God to youth who don't know who God is. And these sessions, they were impactful. Specifically one Saturday night that each of these stories is going to kind of revolve around. And then there was a dance crew, Refined Undignified, that had a couple of different dances that they had. And these dances were incredible because they told a story of these people from different backgrounds, all of them with different hearts that God wanted to reach out to. And so I got to watch one and kind of a half of one of them. I really wasn't paying attention to the half of the other one because my mind was somewhere else. Again, you'll hear about that coming up. But the whole idea of telling different stories of these different hearts is where I wanted to come from for this sermon. And so I'm going to tell you guys five different hearts, and to kind of protect their stories, because I am going to tell some pretty intimate details, I'm going to call them by their heart's names. So we have the strong, the split, the hiding, the prepared, and the searching. And each of these happened last weekend. Incredible moments where they met with God. They had these moments where they saw God maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time. And so I'm going to tell you each of these stories, but before I get too far ahead of myself, let me just pray. God, I ask, Lord, that you would be here, that as I tell these stories, that they would be able to see you through them and how amazingly you worked last weekend. I pray that these words would not be my own, but that they would be from you and that they would touch the hearts of everyone here. I pray this all in your precious name, Lord. Amen. So before I get into the first story of the strong, I just want to read from Psalms 51, verse 10, because I really feel like this was a bit of a theme running throughout the weekend. Psalms 51, verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So the first story that I want to tell you is the story of the strong heart. Yeah. The strong heart. Going into this weekend, he was a believer. He knew about God. He went to church. Night after Friday night, he would come and he would hear about the gospel. And he would always bring his Bible. He was super excited every night at youth to hear about God. And he went through each week learning about the love of God and the fact that he was loved. And during this time, he even earned a bit of a nickname, which was Mini Chris, because he kept mimicking me, which was interesting. But going into this weekend, I don't know if he knew what to expect. I don't think he understood exactly how powerful God actually was. I think he had the head knowledge, and so he had a strong heart knowing who God was, but I'm not sure if he really had felt God before. And so I, as a youth pastor, was waiting to see what he had truly learned and where he was at. And the first day was amazing. He worshiped fully in that first session, hands up and just letting everything go. And it was an amazing moment for me to watch. And he listened to everything that Jason had to say in each of those main sessions. And as the weekend continued, I kept searching for an answer as to how God saw the youth. And God, well, he showed me. He showed me these images of each of the youth, and each of them were these children. And each of them were doing something different. For the strong heart, he was standing, staring directly at God with a beaming smile on his face. That was amazing for me to see. And my heart swelled, and I wanted to nurture that in any way I could. And so my prayer over the weekend was that he would see God in a new way. And during the third main session on Saturday night, the worship was immensely impactful. We sung with all of our hearts, talking about the love of God, where we stood with him. And the message was on perseverance and working through the hard times, trusting God through all of those moments where it was tough. And right at the end of the message, we had a time where we got to sit down as a youth and just talk. And I was incredibly filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where I needed to share the gospel with the youth. And so I sat down and I prayed and asked God that it wouldn't be my own words. And I just shared the gospel. And Sarah told me later that she had never heard the gospel more clearly or more clearly said. And after that moment, I went and I sat on a bench, and if the youth wanted to come and talk to me, they could. None of them did, but for 20 minutes, I stared at a cross, praying, thanking God with a beaming smile on my face, because I could feel that he was there. And when I got up to go and to start going after the youth, because I really felt like I had something to do that night, I got up and I saw the strong heart sitting there. Back up against the wall, his knees tucked into his chest, his head down. He was thinking. And I sat down beside him, and I put my arm around him, and I said, "Hey, what's going on?" And he looked at me, and he said, "I've never felt God more powerfully than in this place." And we kept talking, and he described just this overwhelming emotion that was going through him. And at one point, with a huge smile on his face, he looked at me and he said, "I'm just overwhelmed by this power." And I just smiled and I looked at him, and just the thought came into my head. And I just said, "You know, this is only a little bit of God's power." And he just looked at me wide-eyed and went, "What?" Like, he couldn't imagine the fact that this was just a smidgen of what God's love is like in its purest form. He was so overwhelmed by it. 1 John 4, verse 6 says, "We know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." And I feel like for the first time, the strong heart really felt that. And we talked together, and he was overjoyed. But God had other plans for me. And so I got up, and I excused myself and said, sorry, but I have somewhere else to go. And you'll find out where that is in two stories. The second story I have for you is, I want to start off by reading Isaiah 41, verse 10. Which says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The second story that I want to tell you today is the story of the split heart. She was a believer coming into this weekend, but week after week, she struggled with the different trials that life was throwing at her. And often she would talk about how she knew God, but it was hard to see him through the pain. It was hard to see him in those hard times. It was hard for her to see God, especially when the world kept trying to beat her down and steal the joy of the Lord away from her. And throughout the weekend, I got to see what compassion looks like through her. She has such a compassionate heart. And she would often go out of her way to make sure that people were happy. In the session on Saturday night, one of the other youth was just breaking down and crying. And she kept wrapping her arm around her and going, don't cry, it's okay, it's fine, don't cry. And I actually had to look at her and say, no, it's fine, this is good tears, let it happen. But her compassion was just so overwhelming that she wanted to be there for her friend. And as the weekend went on, without me knowing it, God was at work in her heart through the words that Jason was talking about, and specifically that third main session, that powerful Saturday night session. Jason was talking about this idea of perseverance, the idea that the world is going to try to get you down. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be hard things for you to go through. But if you push through that, and you work with God in that, things will work out in the end. And also the fact that, you know, faith is not a ladder. We're not climbing up the ladder, and when we fail and we fall, we hit the ground, we have to start at the bottom again, but rather that it's a walk with God. That when we stop and we fail, we can pick up right from where we were and keep walking with God, and God waits for us. When I asked her at the end of the weekend what she had learned, she said that she learned that God is with you, even if it might not feel like he is. That God wants to hear about her feelings. And that she learned that even if something is easier, the best decision is still to go with God. I think she truly learned about God, and that split heart that she had began to be mended. Psalm 73, verse 26 says, my heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I think she truly learned that this weekend. God is good in that he brought who he needed to bring to that weekend. And the next three stories, all three of them came into this weekend, some of them knowing about God, some of them still wondering about God. But none of them had taken that leap to accept Christ into their heart. And so a couple of verses that really sum up the next three hearts is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, which says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my worries, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The third heart I want to tell you about is the hiding heart. And truthfully, this is the shortest of the stories because God was doing a lot of it in the background that I wasn't able to see. She came into YQ knowing about God. She had been helping with Awana and youth, and she had a few good friends who knew who God was that shared with her. So she understood this idea of God. She understood who Christ was and all of these aspects, but she had never taken that leap. And as the weekend started off, I was looking for what God had in store for her heart. And of course, I got that amazing vision where I saw each of the children. And for her, I saw her body completely standing, looking towards God, but her face was turned away and shaded, as if she was so close, but she had just never taken that final step. And throughout the weekend, I noticed that she was listening to what Jason had to say. I got a chance to sit down and talk with her on Saturday. I talked with each of the youth one-on-one throughout the weekend. And when I sat down with her, it was an amazing opportunity because it was kind of the first time that I got to talk to her personally outside of just the youth context. And I got to learn about her life a little bit. And in the end, I found out that she had never truthfully made that decision. And so I challenged her to truly listen to what was being said in each of the messages. And on Saturday night, God was working in her heart. She, like the rest of the youth, was feeling God. But of course, I didn't get to see this. I only found out about it the next day. The last session on Sunday morning, Jason stood up at the front and he had a wide call for anyone who had never accepted Christ into their heart or who wanted even to accept him again, just feeling like they had walked away. And so he got everybody to bow their heads, and if they wanted to accept Christ, they would raise their hands. And me being curious, I opened my eyes, and my heart swelled seeing that her hand was up. And when I talked to her about it later, she admitted that, yeah, she decided that she wanted to finally take that step and join the kingdom of God, to leap into God's awaiting arms. And throughout the whole weekend, I just prayed that God would take control of that because I could do nothing on my own. And it was God who worked in her heart. And now there's another soul written into the book of life. Praise God for that. The second to last heart that I want to tell you about is the prepared heart. The prepared heart coming into the weekend was similar to the hiding heart in that she had heard about God, but she had a lot less time to know about God. She was listening in every session, and I got the chance just before the Saturday night session to sit down with her one-on-one. And the prepared heart was so excited to talk to me about what she had been learning. We talked about just who God was and this idea that God loves her and wants her to come to know her. During that meal, I asked her what she'd been feeling, and she admitted to me that she felt like God was calling to her. And so I asked if she had ever accepted, and she told me she hadn't. And so I shared with her my heart, which truly felt like God was screaming for each and every one of the hearts who were in that place. During one of my prayer times that weekend, I asked that God show me what he was wanting to say to each of the youth. And man, was I overwhelmed when I heard God screaming, just calling out with all he was, saying, please see me, hear me, come to me. I just want to love you. I just want you to be with me forever. That broke my heart. And it really gave me a new context for how to look at the youth. Because God wants each and every one of them to come into his kingdom. And so I shared with her that, and she broke down, knowing that God had been calling her that weekend, feeling that. And so we prayed together, and I just said, just listen to God in this next session and see what he has in store for you. So we went into that final session, and boy, boy, did God have plans for her. We went into the time of worship where we heard about God never failing us, showing us his incredible, reckless love and how we wanted to stand in his presence, feeling the great love of God. She continued to be broken, and as I said, her friend just wanted to wrap her up and stop her from crying, but those tears were tears of joy. And I found out later that during that time of worship, she had had her hands out in front of her, and she had asked that God show show himself to her. And as she was worshiping God, she said that she felt somebody grab her hands. And so after that time of worship, I was fully expecting her to come and sit down beside me and talk, but she didn't in that moment. There was more that God wanted for her. And so she went to the Refined Undignified, the dance crew's final concert. And I was being pulled by God. After talking to the strong heart and finding out that God had been affecting him, I went and I talked to the last heart. And after talking with her, I went into the lobby, and I swear I looked like a madman, because I stood in the center of the lobby, spinning in circles, just going, where do you need me to go? I knew that there was somewhere more. There was something else that evening. And so I span until I felt a pull, and I followed it, and I went right to where they were at the Refined Undignified concert, and I stood in the back. God had something still to teach me that night, and it was patience. As I stood in the back for 40 minutes, just feeling this immense pressure to go and talk to the searching heart. And I sat there literally bouncing, just going, come on, end already. And loving what I was seeing in this dance crew, but also just going, I need to talk to her. There's something here. And so I waited, and as soon as the lights went up, Sarah can attest to this. I ran over and I pointed at the searching heart and I said, we need to talk, don't we? And she, beaming smile, just looked at me and said, yeah, we do. And so I took her to the prayer room that they had prepared there. And we sat down and just started by saying, God's really talking to you, eh? And she explained to me the fact that she had felt God grab her hands during the worship. She felt like God was just calling her. And so I asked her three questions about her faith. I asked her if she believed in God. She believed that Christ came and died on a cross to set her free, and that one day we will be with them in glory. And for every question, she emphatically said, yes! It was a cool moment. And I led her through a prayer, asking God into her heart. And after that prayer was done, she was just beaming. And I sat there in this quiet room. There was someone else in the room. I was so overjoyed. And I looked at her. I'm like, I have to do this really quietly, but I have to do this. And I went, yes! I got to share with her the fact that, you know, there's a party in heaven going on because she accepted Christ into her heart. It was a touching moment for a youth pastor to go through. But the last heart I want to talk about is still searching. She never made a formal commitment. But her heart was looking into everything that she was being told that weekend. The searching heart. The last heart was the prepared heart. I forgot my names for them. But the searching heart is the last heart here. God was speaking so powerfully that weekend. So powerfully that everything inside of the searching heart wanted to run away. Because coming into the weekend, she still believed that she was an atheist. She believed that there was no God. And that the stories that she had heard at youth, which I'm so grateful that she kept coming back, were all just stories. And so my prayer for her that weekend was that she would truthfully see God for who he was. And as the weekend went on, I got a chance to sit down and talk with her. I was during lunch on Saturday. And throughout that talk, she explained to me the fact that she struggled with a lot of the ideas of God because of different things in her life, because of different circumstances. She had always felt like God just wasn't there. And it didn't help. I found out later that her parents also struggled with God. Her dad went through something horrid at a young age that drew him out of the church. And since then, according to her words, he hates religion. And so coming into this weekend, she was in a very interesting position, being someone who didn't believe in a place that was very driven towards those who do. And at the earliest opportunity that weekend, I decided to give her my Bible, as I knew she had never had a Bible before. Typically, I had a black NIV Bible that I called my preacher's Bible. It was the first Bible that I bought as a pastor. And right in the beginning of the week, my heart just felt like that was the right thing to give to her. And so I gave it to her and said, this is my Bible. I've experienced God so many times through this word, and I know that you will too if you dive into it. She has been reading her Bible every day since, which is amazing. The next day, I got to sit down and talk with her one-on-one, and she explained those holdbacks. And I challenged her by explaining who God was. I told her that God is love, like we heard in 1 John 4:8. I let her know that God is a comforter, that he's not an angry God sitting up on a throne judging all the time, but rather he is someone who wants to pull everyone into his embrace. And as we talked, I knew that she was searching. She was truthfully listening to what God was wanting for her. And so I asked if she would be willing to join me in a seminar on the existence of God. In that session, a man named John Morrison, a man that I know actually fairly well personally, talked about the 7 reasons that he is entirely convinced that God exists. It seemed like it was made specifically for her. And in that, he gave creation, the fine-tuning of the universe, morality, information and order, human consciousness, Jesus, and personal experience as his proofs for why he is convinced God exists. And throughout the whole time, her searching heart was truly listening. We had an amazing conversation about it afterwards. But her heart had one question remaining on it. Why do all of those only apply to Yahweh, the Christian God? Why couldn't they apply to another God? So afterwards, I sat her down and I got to explain to her the fact that our God is unique. Our God is a God of love. And there is no other God out there that loves as our God does, that acts as our God does, that works as our God does. And so I told her the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. The Baal prophets screaming out for their God, trying to get him to wake up, spending 3 days cutting themselves, dancing, making fools of themselves, trying to get their God to wake up. And Elijah, after pouring 3 huge vats of water over the altar, prayed to God, and in a moment, it was lit. I got to explain to her the fact that God is powerful and real, and I asked her if she would be willing to pray a dangerous prayer. And she said yes, and so I said, I'm going to pray that God shows himself to you this weekend. And so we prayed, and that evening, she saw God. She was overwhelmed by God to the point that she didn't know how to understand it. And so her knowledge and the way that she lived her life forced her to run out of the sanctuary right at the end. Art, being the amazing guy that he was, went with her and tried to help. And after I talked to the strong heart, I felt like I was being pulled to go somewhere else. And so I said, I need to go. And I left and met up exactly at the right time with Art, who is bringing the searching heart to me because he didn't know exactly what to say. And so we met up and I took her to a quiet place and we sat down and she was visibly shaking. She was tense. She was worried. And so I told her that God is love. God wants her to see him, that God is powerful. And then I asked if I could pray for her. And I put my hand on her shoulder and I prayed that God would comfort her. And I felt her physically relax as I asked for God to comfort her. And she sat there afterwards with a beaming smile on her face, completely different than the way she was just moments before that prayer. Then she said she was tired, and so I said, hey, let me pray for energy, and she stayed up for an extra hour and a half. It was such an amazing opportunity, and the next day I found out, as they were traveling back, Art and Sarah had her in the back of her car. She figured out on her own, without any prodding, that maybe that power that she felt that forced her to run, maybe that was the power that I had prayed for earlier that day for her to see. She never took that step, but I think she truly saw who God was that weekend. And just Friday night, she took me aside and she said, how do I pray? And I got to explain to her that it's pretty simple. You just say, dear God, amen. Those are the two things that you really need to say, and the rest in the middle is what's on her heart. She's still searching. And I am so grateful for that, and I'm praying so hard that she, just one day, it clicks for her, and she believes. Each of these stories shows that God is active in our world, that God is working, that he is powerful, and that he truly loves us all. And I know, just as we got to experience this last weekend, I know that he wants you to experience that. So to end off this sermon, this story sermon, I don't know exactly what to call it, I just want to read for you guys Psalms 139, the whole thing, because it really sums up this entire weekend that we went through. Psalms 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've hedged me behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there, and if I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they should be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are love, that you are alive and active. And I thank you for this past weekend where we got to see you so clearly. Lord, I pray that as we go today, that you would be alive and active in each one of these people's hearts. that they would see you so clearly like they have never seen you before. Lord, I just ask that